Day, everybody, welcome to church. You glad to be here? So glad to have you. For all of you here in the room, welcome, welcome to all of you who are gathering online with us. Very glad you're here as well, whether you're at home or at the beach or traveling somewhere this weekend. We're just glad you're a part of this, and it's also a very special weekend because, as you heard, it is our Young Communicators Weekend. So we have chosen some leaders that we've been raising up here in our church family over the past few years and giving you an opportunity to hear some new, fresh voices. I'm very excited about that. If you're new to the journey, I'll give you some of the why behind the what of this. We have a vision, really a passion, to reach what we call Journey City, which is the region that is a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location here in Newark. 1.8 million people live in that circle. And we just feel called as a church to make the message of Jesus known in our region and to bring people hope and life and to meet needs in our community, which we're going to be doing all summer long. You get an opportunity to be a part of that. And a big part of that passion to impact our region, which we know we're just one of many great churches in our area. We want to do everything we can to bring hope to that circle. And part of that is raising up people. In fact, that's the most important part of that. Many of you are right in the center of that dream. You serve on our J team. Would you give it up for our J team, everybody? And all of you who are a part of that, if you're not yet, that's a great next step for you to take to really become a part of our community of faith, our family here, to serve on the J team. And we also want to raise up leaders. That's what Journey Leadership Institute is all about. It's a brand new umbrella for all of our leadership development here. Includes an evening program, a 9-month leadership intensive. You can find out more about that on our website. It includes an internship for our students, a summer residency for young adults. And at every stage of life and leadership experience, we want to come alongside you and help develop your leadership so that we can make a difference in our region together. So today, you're going to get an opportunity to hear from two of those leaders. And I imagine they probably have some nerves going on. I remember the first time I spoke at a church, I was a guest speaker, and I was invited to speak, and I did not tell them it was my first gig. That's kind of like rule one. And so I just acted like I knew what I was doing, and they asked me, how long do you usually speak for? And I didn't know because I didn't usually speak. And so I put on my brave face, and I said, about 35 minutes. It seemed right to me. And that day, I spoke for 12 minutes, everyone. It was, don't applaud. I don't do that anymore. In fact, I have to work hard to really get it to the time I do have. You don't know this. I was telling somebody earlier, I think around 150,000 words of bonus content for messages. It's good stuff, everybody. You just never got to hear it because it didn't fit within the window. So I'm sure they have some nerves going on. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Lean in, laugh at their jokes, smile, nod, encourage them. But also know this weekend isn't just for them. It's for you. And there's something that God wants to do if you'll open your life up in the next few minutes that will be an impact on you for good. And I want to encourage you to be ready for that. So there have been 7 of them all weekend long. And in this gathering, you get an opportunity to hear from 2 of our leaders who are serving, making a difference here. Both graduated from what is now the evening program of Journey Leadership Institute. Haley Dreibelbus is going to be speaking to you in a moment. She is a part of Journey Students. She is married to Brad Dreibelbus that you saw a few minutes ago, our next-gen pastor and Newark location pastor. But she is an empowering leader and a gifted communicator. I know her message is going to encourage you. And then Mark McDonald, you see him often on the keys, and I always tell him when he plays the keyboard, that's when I feel like I don't want to stop after 35 minutes. I just want to keep going. But he is also just a great communicator, gifted leader. My wife and I have known Mark for a long time, a couple of decades, and I've just watched him be faithful to God. I know his message is going to encourage you as well. So will you help me, Journey? Give it up. First up for Haley Dreibelbus in the house. Make some noise.
Well, hey, Journey, what is up? How are y'all feeling this morning? Good. It's a 10:30, so I know it's going to be alive in here, hopefully, this morning. But I am so thankful to be up here with you all, and just want to say thank you, Pastor Mark, for that introduction, and to our lead team, and just for this opportunity to get up here. And like Pastor Mark said, my name is Haley, and I get to serve on our Journey Students team, and I absolutely love hanging out with our students. There are so many perks to being in students, but one in particular is that they keep you young. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you can feel young in Journey Students. And so I always feel like I got a little extra pep in my step when I'm around some students. I'm a little bit cooler, even if I'm not that cool in general. But students are so awesome. They always keep you in the know. And so I always feel like I know what's going on in their world. And so I always like to remind them of what happened in my world when I was their age in high school. And so back in my day, there was this fun activity. It was called going to the movies. You guys remember that? Some of you are like, we still do that. But not to the hype and excitement that it was when I was in high school. I mean, it was a big deal, and students will never know what it was like to stand in line and try and find your seat for the movies. And I remember those midnight releases. They were a huge deal. Remember those midnight releases of a series like Star Wars or Harry Potter or Hunger Games or Twilight? You know, I won't say which ones I was in line for. I'm sure you can guess it wasn't Star Wars though. But I loved all the excitement, all the anticipation that came with seeing a new movie for the first time. And now I've realized, as I've gotten older, that I live for the spoilers now. Like, I hate that I've become this type of person, but I can't go to a movie or watch a show without first knowing, does it have a good ending, right? Like, if it has a good ending, I can watch it in peace and not nerves the whole time. Anyone else? Anyone relate? Spoilers? Oh my goodness, guys, come on. I know you are Googling some of the endings to the shows you're watching right now. Well, sometimes we just want to know that what we're going to spend our time and our energy on, it's worth our time and it's worth the wait, right? And I think we all can agree, we've all waited for something before. Students, you've waited for normalcy in this pandemic. Parents, you've probably waited on your students or your kids to get to church on time this morning. Guys, I know you have all waited for your girl to finish getting ready so you can hit that dinner reservation. No matter who we are or what we believe, we have all waited before, and we all share this. Every day we wait for someone or something. And there's a couple in the Bible by the names of Abraham and Sarah who knew what waiting meant, and they were waiting for a family of their own. And we're introduced to them in the first book of the Bible, and I want to read it for you. It's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It said, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others.'" So don't worry, Abram is Abraham. He later gets his name changed. So he gathers his wife Sarah, and they go to this land. And God tells him, hey, you're going to be famous. Your legacy will live on. You're going to have a son, and he will be your heir. So Abraham and Sarah are probably thinking, like, this sounds awesome. Like, let's get on with this. But little did they know, it would take 25 years of waiting for that son to come into their lives. I mean, I can barely wait for the end of a movie without having a spoiler first, and they waited decades, 25 years, to see God's promise fulfilled in their son, Isaac. And when it comes to faith in what God has promised us, we don't get a spoiler of when it will come to fruition. And I love their story because it often shows that there's this delay between what God has promised us, what he's told us, and it being fulfilled. And that delay is called waiting. And did you guys know that waiting is just one of the ways God tests our faith in him? But when we wait, there's a difference between waiting well and not waiting well. And so while Abraham and Sarah were waiting for these 25 years, they went through these seasons where they waited really well. They trusted God. They knew that he was going to come through on his promise to them. But then they also went through these other seasons. And I encourage you guys, grab the popcorn later, read Genesis 16, because it gets real sticky when Abraham and Sarah try and take it into their own hands. But that's the opposite of waiting well. It's when we try and take control. It's when we take matters into our own hands, or it's those times where we're stuck in our own thoughts and we start moping around or we're complaining. It's those times where we've said, I'll never. You know, you throw in the towel and you just say, hey, I'll never get married. I'll never have a family. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never graduate. And the truth is, you never will. God didn't intend for you to do any of that alone. He wants to do a work in you and through you. He intended to do that with you and for you. And some of us have been spending the season of waiting for those promises to come through in our lives, and instead we're just stuck in our thoughts or we're trying to control, and therefore we're just wasting this whole season. But I believe that if we trust in God's process, then we will receive his promise for us. And so don't waste the waiting. Well, I love to bake when I have time. And my husband tells me I bake the best chocolate chip cookies, so I'll take any of you on. And I hope he doesn't just say that because he's my husband, but I guess we'll never know. But I have a secret, all right? It's called Nestle Toll House, okay? It's kind of hard to mess the recipe up. 375 degrees, 9 to 11 minutes, that's all it takes. But if I were to take the cookies out too early because he's pestering me most of the time, then they're just going to be runny. But if I were to try and speed up the process and raise the temperature, they're just going to burn. They're not going to cook properly. Well, the same can be true for us in our waiting seasons. If we try and throw in the towel, we give up, we throw in those I'll nevers, then we're never going to fully receive what God wants to bless us with. And on the other hand, if we try and take matters into our own hands, or we try and control the situation, that's when we just end up feeling discouraged, we're disappointed, sometimes we're just angry at the waiting. And God gives us a recipe to follow of our own. It's not a secret. He gives us a full cookbook, actually. It's called the Bible, and in it are full of recipes, of verses that can tell us and teach us how we can wait well and wait patiently on the Lord. And maybe you've wasted your waiting up to this point. You're here and you're thinking, hey, I haven't managed my waiting well up to this point. And I'm here to tell you that I have too. I haven't managed my waiting well. That's why this message, it messed with me so much. But I just want to encourage you that you're not alone, that it's okay if you've wasted your waiting up to this point, because God's grace covers you. God is enough for you. And he gives us the full recipe in his cookbook of how we can start right now. We can stop wasting our waiting. And so I want to challenge you all today. I want to encourage you today to stop wasting your waiting by reading the cookbook that he's given us, by really just diving into the word. God calls us to be active in our waiting. He doesn't call us to take a step back and stand still, but he calls us to be active and be in his presence. It's what we were all doing just a moment ago of worship. We were actively waiting in that moment. And so God calls us to be active in your waiting. So read his word this summer. Get in your time and your place with God. God's timing is always perfect, and you may be really hungry for those cookies now, but he's got a purpose. He's got a plan for your waiting, and when we trust in him, then we're going to come out of the oven complete. And so we don't have to waste our waiting anymore. We can start today. We can dive into that cookbook. Well, recently I found myself in a very similar waiting season as Abraham and Sarah, and waiting for a family of my own. And this is just something that I have been struggling with, and it's hard to share, but I have been waiting to start a family. And there are days when I know, hey, God has put that desire on my heart to be a mom, that I trust and believe that it will come true somehow, some way. But I'll be honest, there's just a lot of the other days where it's just sadness that takes over. And I get caught in my head, and I'm trying to do research like I could possibly fix the problem, and I'm just stuck. And I'm standing still, and I'm not waiting well, and then I just become hopeless, like I don't have any hope of being a mom. And maybe for you, you're dealing with the same thing, and I just want to tell you, hey, I'm with this in you, and you're not alone. But maybe for you, you've been waiting for that one to come into your life, someone that you can spend your life with. Or maybe you're waiting for that family member to be healed, or you're waiting for your dad to come back into your life, or you're waiting for that sign that tells you, hey, choose this college, choose this job, turn away from this relationship, and whatever it may be for you, whatever you are waiting for, it's gonna seem hopeless sometimes. And there may be times where there's no other way to say it than it's just sadness that takes over. But I want to encourage you, don't waste your waiting, because there is hope. And I found help in this verse, Isaiah 40:31. It says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And so why should we not waste our waiting? We become stronger, and God is preparing us to face something we wouldn't have been ready for before. And if we waste our waiting, we may not be ready to handle what God wants to give to us. Remember, part of the fun of waiting is that anticipation. It's the excitement that we get when we receive the outcome of it. And if we waste that waiting, we may never receive what God has for us to its fullest and be able to really cherish that blessing. It's through our waiting that we learn to trust God. We learn to lean on His strength. We learn to keep waiting, to keep persevering. Notice the verse didn't say that those who take matters into their own hands will find new strength. No, it says those who trust in the Lord will find new strength and soar high on wings like eagles. God has given all of us desires in our hearts, and I know that He's planning those promises and those desires for here on earth for us. And waiting may be out of our control, but what isn't out of our control is everything we do between now and that fulfillment. Every time that we choose to dive into our Bible and we open up His cookbook, we are waiting well. Every time we choose faith in Him, it's a reward. Every time we don't throw in the towel, every time we don't try and take control, every time we don't give in, He is storing all of that up for us, all of that blessing. And God's just trying to show you that, hey, He's always working. He didn't waste this season on you. Let's not waste it on Him. He's got you, and He's in control. So don't waste your waiting.
For Haley, one more time, don't waste your waiting. Was that not amazing? What is going on, Journey family? How you guys doing this morning? Make some noise in this house today. Man, it's such an honor to be here and to stand in front of you guys and share my heart with you. And if y'all can do me a favor, because I like when you guys are loud and talk back, but can we embarrass our pastor, our lead pastor, Pastor Mark and Susie, and tell them how much we love him and Susie and his family, all the sacrifice they have made. And also for our leadership team, can we give it up for them? They work every day just trying to make sure that we get to find Jesus and follow him fully. And y'all know I got to shout out my beautiful wife. Girl, I love you. And my beautiful baby girl, they actually prayed for me last night before we put my daughter to bed. And the cutest thing happened, y'all. She was sitting on my lap, and her mom had finished praying, and she put her hand on my head like this. And I was like, are you praying for daddy? She said, yeah. I said, in Jesus' name. And she shouts, amen. I'm like, you know, God is in the room. He is in the room. And because I'm a church boy, and y'all know I love some Jesus, if Jesus has ever done anything in your life, can you put your hands together and make some noise for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Amen. So all weekend, we've been talking about faith. And I wanted to start by asking you guys a question. On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the greatest, how big is your faith? 1 to 10, how big is your faith? Everybody got that number? Cool. Keep that number because I have a feeling it's about to change in a few minutes. So faith is defined as complete trust or confidence in something or someone. Complete trust or confidence in something or someone. So we're going to put that definition to a test. You guys ready? How many of you guys set an alarm last night either by a clock or your phone just so you can wake up on time today? And you just went right to sleep, right? Didn't worry about it. And the alarm went off and you're here. Congratulations. Here's another one. How many of you drove here today? So you just, you know, just started the car, you pushed the start button, car fired up. You didn't think twice about it. You just got in the car and came, right? Here's another one that even you guys online can participate in. How many of you just came in and sat down? How many of you at home just came and sat at the couch? Or if you're super spiritual, you might be sitting in front of a body of water somewhere, watching on your phone. You guys are the real heroes. But you didn't think anything about it. You just came and just plopped down. Congratulations. All of you have exercised faith today. And if the chair thing didn't work out, that might be kind of weird. Sorry about that. Let's talk about some of the bigger things that we put our faith in. We can put our faith and our confidence in education. Many of our parents have tried their best to make sure we had the best opportunities, how if that's private school or making sure you're living in the right school district, just to make sure you had the best opportunities for when you got your diploma. And that way you can go to the best colleges. Then you worked really hard through high school to make sure you got to get into the college of your choice. And the whole point of that is to get the career of your choice. And we put our faith in our careers, that we work really, really hard. The whole point is to move up the ladder so we can make sure we have that income that we want to support the lifestyle we desire. Some of us put our faith in our families. Like, I'm blessed. I have a very close family. I thank God for my family. And so I put a lot of faith in them and them in me. I trust them with my life, and they do with me. I thank God for my family. We put our trust in that. And there are some of us that we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in ourselves. Some of us are very skilled that we just know how to get things done. Some of us can really say, if I'm not doing it, it's just not going to happen. We have that kind of faith and confidence in ourselves. And so let me ask you, why do we do those things? Is it because we've tested them and they work? So that's why we put our faith in our things, in these things. So this reminds me of a story in the Bible. Talks about a guy who's worked really, really hard as a soldier. He worked his way up in the ranks. And in fact, he's a soldier where he has people that he's responsible for. And of course, he has his superior that's over him. He had wealth. Apparently, he was doing very well. He had a house staff. I wish I had his money, where somebody can clean my house for me so I don't get in trouble with my wife for my socks being on the floor. But he was able to afford that for his household. But one day he found himself in a crazy situation. One of his servants that worked for him was found sick. In fact, the Bible says he was even paralyzed and he was in a lot of pain. So he found himself in this position where his money, his status, his career, all those things that he's worked hard for, that he knows how to work in and out of, he has faith in that thing, trust in that thing, it was completely irrelevant at this time. Has anybody ever been in that position where everything you know was working, but then you get put into a situation where it just does not work? It reminds me of about really 3 years, or I think 3 years ago this month, my wife and I were expecting our daughter. And, you know, we did all the cool things you're supposed to do, getting the house ready, painting the walls. And if you're like me, I was like every other father who waited to the very last minute to actually put the crib up. All the fathers say amen. And so my wife was doing the whole nesting thing, right? And so one day she's at work and she calls me. And she's like, hey, Mark, I'm not feeling well. I mean, I have this like pain in my stomach and it doesn't feel right. I feel off. I'm like, well, babe, they kind of told you that was going to happen as you get bigger and things, you know, I'm just kind of shrugging it off. Your first time mom, you're going to overreact. It's okay. They said that's part of the process. She was like, I don't know. I think there's something going on. So she ended up going home that day early. And excuse me, I remember she had pulled up at the house, and there's an app that we have that I can see to make sure she got in the house okay safely. In fact, I had to call my mom and said, hey, mom, can you meet Janice at the house? And she said she's having some issues, and she probably, you know, needs that motherly support right now, make sure she's okay. And I watched my mom actually help her into the house. She's actually having a hard time walking. And I'm like, okay, God, what's going on here? This is something new. And so we ended up having to take her to the ER that night. And it was the craziest scene. So we get her out the car, and she's like, I can't walk. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I'm pushing her in a wheelchair down to the ER, and they get her situated on the bed, and it's like, well, let's check out and see what's going on. They take the wand thing, and they put it on her stomach, and as they touched her stomach, my wife screamed in pain. And then she just busted out crying in tears, and I'm standing here like, what just happened? My wife is not emotional like this. And so they're trying her best to see if they can get the baby's heartbeat to make sure she's okay, make sure my wife's okay, but they couldn't touch her without her hurting. Can I tell you, my career, the little bit of money God's blessed me with, my status in life, none of that mattered at that moment. It did nothing for me at that moment. And as I remember being scared, I'm like, God, we prayed for this. We planned this. What's happening right now? Have you ever felt your faith be tested? The crazy feeling. So back to the soldier. The soldier's like, he's worried about a servant trying to figure out what's going on. And he happened to stumble upon Jesus. And so he tells Jesus, hey, Jesus, this is what's going on with my servant. All these things are going on. We don't know what to do. But will you come and heal him? And this is what the officer said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 through 9. I'll read that. It says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. If only I need say go, they go. Or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves or servants, do this, they will do that. That's faith. You don't even have to come to my house, he said. Because I'm an officer, and because of my authority, I already know if I say something, it's going to get done or people get in trouble. You're Jesus. You are the authority. So can you just speak from where you are? And I know your word is going to travel and that thing is going to happen. And Jesus was so impressed with the soldier's faith that he actually healed the servant without even going to go see about him. You see, the officer's faith wasn't in his strength or his authority or his money, but it was in the source of all of those things. Let me ask you, where's your faith? Are you putting it in your confidence? Are you putting your faith or your confidence in your status? In your relationships, in your finances, in your careers? Do you have faith big enough to believe Jesus for anything, anywhere, at any time? Because you see, your education is great. It's fantastic. But a degree does not promise you the job that you're looking for. The career that you chose does not guarantee you're going to go up the ladder as fast as you can. In fact, once you actually exercise your faith in Jesus, you will quickly learn promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but it comes from God. Having a close family is amazing. Having a boyfriend is amazing. Those things are great, but it's inevitable. They're going to fail you. They're going to disappoint you. They're fallible. We're human. What are you going to do then if that's where your faith is at? But with your faith in Jesus, you will learn that Jesus sticks closer than any brother. He's the closest thing to you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Are you relying on yourself? Because relying on yourself can be problematic because we make mistakes. We make bad decisions. But with faith in Jesus, you will find that strength doesn't come from you, but it comes from who is in you. Greater is he that is in you. So thinking back to when we were in the hospital with my wife, I remember just standing there, and the good news is she was fine. They were able to finally get her situated and find the baby's heartbeat. And let me tell you guys, as a first-time dad, that heartbeat was the sweetest thing I'd ever heard at that moment. You see, in this situation, what I prayed for, and I put my faith in Jesus, and we prayed about that thing, and it was okay. But what about the times that Jesus told me no? What about the times Jesus said, not yet? I can only speak to you from my own personal experience. I've been serving the Lord for a long time now, guys. I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. And there's been times where I've even asked God for things, and he said no. And can I tell you from my experience, when I look back at that thing, everything that God said no or not yet to has been some of the greatest moments in my life. Those relationships that I wanted, God said, nah, that's not for you. And then years later, I'm like, oh. We dodged a bullet on that one. God, I thank you. I give you the praise for that one. And if I'm honest, there's even a job opportunity I was looking for a few years ago. My wife and I were newly married, and we were trying to get things done, and I took this job, but it wasn't working out. I'm like, God, why isn't this working out? Just to find out, 4 or 5 months later, they closed. Thank you, God, for telling me no. Now, if I had my faith in myself, I would have not had a job in a few months. But if you put your trust in Jesus, it is amazing what he will do. And here at The Journey, we help strengthen our faith through relationships. Have you considered joining a J group? Why is that important, Mark? Because being in a group with people going the same direction as you is going to build your faith. Have you considered joining a J team? It will build your faith. And most importantly, practice what we call a slot in a spot, a time and a place with God. That one-on-one time, guys, with Jesus, just you and him, is the best thing that you can do to increase your faith. In my lowest moments, it's that slot and spot, that time and place with God, that has recharged my battery like nothing else. So in closing, we all have faith. Where are you putting it? May I recommend Jesus? Did anybody in this room need this word today? Can you lift your hands? And as a sign of surrender, because sometimes we have to recalibrate. Like I said, I've been in church for a long time and following Jesus for a long time. But a lot of times I have to stop and say, whoa. Where's my faith at this moment? This my power or God's power? This Mark talking or God talking? Sometimes we have to recalibrate. So if you're new to this Jesus thing, or you just put your faith in Jesus, don't be intimidated by that. Because even us old heads, we get it wrong sometimes. But as a sign of surrender, and if you feel comfortable, can we all just lift both of our hands? I want to pray with you real quick. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here, for your presence being here. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us, all that you're going to do for us. And Father, we ask you now to look at the areas of our heart and in our lives, and we're asking you, God, can you calibrate us? Can you help us tweak our faith? Where we depend on you, where we put our trust and our confidence in you. And we promise, God, we're gonna do our best to follow you. And God, help us to get around people who can encourage us and speak life into us and remind us of who we are in you when our faith is low.
And God, we give you the praise. We'll give you the honor. And it's in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen?
I want to take just a moment more, and let's just kind of stay in God's presence and allow that word to continue to encourage you. But I want to take a moment and speak to any of us who are here today, or you're online right now and you don't yet have a real relationship with God, that you maybe have even thought that what this is all about, what church is all about, is putting your faith in a religion, or putting your faith in a philosophy, or putting your faith in a belief system. But I love that last question that Mark asked. May I recommend Jesus, the person Jesus? A real relationship with God is not just about a religion. It's not just about being a Christian or having a box that you check on a survey that is a religion you identify with. It's about knowing God by following Jesus. It's about following a person that when everything, when the dust settles, everything's said and done, my faith is in Jesus Christ. He is enough for me. And if you're here today and you don't have that yet, that real relationship with God through knowing Jesus, you can. If God's drawing you to him right now, wherever you are, you can take this moment and say, this is going to be my moment. I'm taking that step. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. He's the one who died for our sins, rose again. He is leader and Lord, and you can make the decision today to follow him. So I'm going to lead us in prayer again. I want everyone to just block out every distraction, again, in the room, online. Just open your heart up big to God. And if that's you today, if you want to begin a real relationship with God through faith in Jesus, right where you are, whisper out a prayer, something like this. Jesus, today, I declare my faith in you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. I'm trusting not in a religion, but in you to be my Savior, to be my leader and Lord. From this moment on, I choose you. I'm going to follow you. And if that's you today, well, everyone around you stays focused on God. If you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. Will you shoot your hand up and just hold it up high? Yes. Boldly hold it up. Yeah, it's awesome. My faith is in Jesus. Yes. Yes. If you're watching online right now, let us know. Type the word faith in the comments. Share that with us. And then everyone, will you help me together? Come on, let's celebrate people finding Jesus.